Listeners, I want to let you know, in business with God, that's with a question mark, this session does not just include business people. It includes everybody, everyone. No one is excluded because we are kingdom builders and everybody must do business with God. God must be your partner in everything in life, in decisions you make, in a mate that you're looking for. May it be God's choice and not the wrong choice. So business with God relates to transactions, wherever you fit. If you're a breathing soul, you know and you can really gain some wisdom from this discussion that it's for you. And we're even going to be weaving in the kingdom economy. And the kingdom economy is for the Christian living in the kingdom way, with the King of all kings. In order to be in good health, we must be in balance mentally, physically, socially, and economically. Are you living with a spirit of poverty? Do you continue to say, I can't afford to do anything? If this is your mind, thought, or tongue, remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's important that we know and that we understand these truths that are in the Bible. Feed on healthy, nourishing words. What we feed ourselves, not only physically, but mentally, are just as important. So remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So now let's start thinking the truth and that which is right and that which pleases God. I would rather hear someone say something like this: I can't afford it now, but I'm waiting for God's appropriation. In line with this, let's squash the social philosophy of entitlement once and for all. It has no place in our productive world. Entitlement philosophy will bankrupt your unhealthy mind first, and then the world. Wisdom says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. Now, this has been misconstrued and misquoted. Now, we have to keep in mind, because we are here to help others, and there are some of those, many people out there that cannot work. It's not a matter that they will not work, but if they just don't want to work, and they want to live off of other people, they want that entitlement philosophy. But it just is not a constructive thought that we should carry. I would like to share with you on today's program a healthy attitude about in business with God. Personally, I grow tired of sentiment of some Christians who just give the impression that their brother in Christ who is in business providing products and services to consumers like yourself should make it available for a discount or even free because he is a brother. Can you imagine that? I have a different perspective. Why should not the Christian consumer be willing to pay the Christian business individual a little bit more? After all, he is giving his tithes to help build the kingdom, feed the poor, take care of widows and orphans, and spread the gospel, isn't he? So you are really investing doubly. One, to get that which you need, and the second is because you know that money which God has supplied to you by your work and by your diligence, that has been supplied to help others as well as yourself. It's not a selfish attitude. We should be here as servants to God, helping others. Sad to say, but I have heard ministry leaders indicate that just perhaps the Christian business individuals should consider giving them things for free. After all, they are a man of the cloth. That's not really good thinking. It's not a good witness. After all, as believers, God tells us he will supply all our need. We have no need to ask man. We ask God and let God work it for us. But on the other hand, Christian consumers have no problem of paying full price when they're dining out, giving a tip, going to the theater, or enjoying other types of entertainment, and fully expecting to pay the full price. Whatever is on the marquee, whatever is on the menu, they pay it. No special or negotiated concession. Most of the time, they're paying full price. But yet, we expect our brother to give us a discount or do it for nothing. Why should there be a double standard? What is the difference? Or maybe this just might hurt. Is the Christian consumer just cheap? What happened to "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward"? The Bible tells us that. We need to keep the perspective of dealing in business, keep the perspective on the Word of God, and let Him direct us. Thank you for joining in with me. My name is Ceylon Smith, and I have been involved directly with the Christian business community for about 25 years as president and founder of the Christian Business Directory. Prior to that, my resume was in the food business, concept developer of Apple Jacks by the Kellogg Company, team member building a $65 million seafood business where I was national sales and marketing director, state director for Year of the Bible 1983, and was hand-selected by Florida's governor to be on his transition team. My most important positions, though, are, number one, I am a son of God through his son. And the next thing, I am a husband for over 50 years to Gail Smith, pianist, and father and grandfather of two daughters and two granddaughters. God knew I was a daughter daddy from the beginning. After all, Father knows best. That just gives you a little thumbnail sketch about who you are listening to. And I hope to get to know my audience as well. Now, I have a question and a personal statement. Is there anyone in our listening audience that can answer this question? In our corporate name, that is the company that I own, in the name, which is Christian Business Directory USA, what does the acronym USA spell? I'll give you the answer to that at the end of this session. Well, there's thoughts that we need to consider regarding in business with God. Who would you want to have for a partner and why? Many people go into business and some go it alone. They're an entrepreneur. They incorporate or they go LLC or they sole proprietorship. They take some form of a governing body for the corporation. And I always say, you must be careful who you take on as a partner, because the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. But one partner which we must always take on is that of God. He is the best partner you will ever have. Why do I want the name of God or Christ attached to or implied in my business? You know, many organizations start up and they get their board of directors and they're looking for people in the community with a recognizable name. Somebody that has money. Somebody that has influence. For one reason, to get them where they want to go faster than they could do it on their own. Well, many people want God and Christ related to their business, not for his input and for his direction and for his will in your life as it regards that business, but to be able to deceive other believers, to make them think that we are so spiritual and that you should do business with me because I put on this facade of religiosity. So you must look inward and reflect and ask yourself and be truthful to yourself. Why do I want God involved in my business? And may you come up with the right answer. After all, God knows the heart. There's other areas in business that we deal with. We deal with ethics, and there's moral principles that govern a person's or a group's behavior, and that's what ethics is all about. Ethics is a set of principles of right conduct. An ethic of service seems to be at war with a craving for gain, and this can be very, very dangerous. It also answers a part of a question: why do we possess such an entitlement personality? We want things for nothing. We want it to be given to us. It has to do with partly our morals and principles and ethics, and we have to be cautious. We have to continue to search our hearts. David was praying, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there is anything wicked in me. Let me know so I can correct it with your help." So ethics plays a very important part in our life as to what we expect, the direction in which we're going, and how we treat other people as well. The Bible tells us, as we have opportunity, to let us do good to all men. That's the saved, the unsaved. But there's an emphasis in that verse in Galatians 6:10. Let us do good unto all men. And the operative word and powerful word to me is especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And you know, the more we do business with one another, not for the reason of getting a free job or a big discount, but emphasizing a reason as to why we should support one another, other Christian brothers and sisters that are in business, is because, first of all, Christians are bound by their lifestyle and by what Christ has given us, the example. We've been encouraged to give, to help others, the widows, the orphans. We tithe to the church so that it has money to send out missionaries to spread the gospel and to do good things. And the Bible says, don't rob me. So the more we give to Christian businessmen in purchasing the products that we need, the more that that Christian has to give back into the kingdom and kingdom building. So the less we try to hold somebody down, we're hurting ourselves as well. Honesty is needed in business, for the Christian businessman especially, because we have that testimony to uphold. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Honesty really comes to the forefront when people deal with you. Just as many Christians have discernment and a discerning spirit, those others have a discerning spirit because they know one because they are one, and they know when a salesman is not telling the truth. They know when the salesperson is trying to spin something because he's got one thing in mind, trying to find the way to extract the dollar that is in your wallet and get it in his hand. So it is very important that we have standards of measuring, whether we're doing length, weight, or quantity. I know of businesses that, yes, I have dealt with, been involved in over the years, that have what I call unjust weights. There's many things that producers of products, manufacturers can do to lessen the quality, to spread out the profit. And this is what I relate to and can put under the verse that is talking about dishonest weights. We do it whenever we speak about someone and we slander them and we're moving things against them, idle words, false words, things that is to their detriment, and we're using that to build ourselves up. So it comes back to, in dealing in business and having a partner such as God, who cannot look at evil, cannot look at sin and will not tolerate it, we must remember God does not settle all of his debts on the 15th of the month. So we must be dealing in an honest way. And then another reminder from the scriptures, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And you know, that verse sort of helped me in my business. I had a competitor come to town. They told me that they were anticipating getting in business that I was in at the time, and they just wanted to talk to me first. Well, as they were speaking and so forth, their deception came out, and what they had already done is they had already started the business, made every provision to establish in the state of Florida, and as they left, I'm thinking, well, gee, I had very little competition. Now I've got a little bit more competition. And the only thing that I said, God, you own it all. I don't. Guide them, provide for them, and done rightly, there's enough for us all. Well, their intentions were not pure, and within a year, they were out of business, bankrupt, upside down. It was taken over by family members trying to make it go, and I did have the opportunity to deal with one of the family members, and he would always call me asking for advice, and I shared with him. I said, friend, be careful. I am your competitor. You don't know, but what I might tell you something that is not good for you, but it would be great for me. I said, so you have to be careful. However, let me share with you, I cannot and I will not do that because my business is owned by God. And he just related to me, Lon, I know you. I know your reputation in the field. And that's why I come to you, because I know you won't mislead me. You may not tell me all your marketing secrets, but you will give me some correct advice. We need to have the integrity, the honesty, and remember integrity, which is a very integral part of being in business. Integrity is doing the right thing when nobody is watching. Hypocrisy is you do the right thing when everybody's watching, but then you change course when they're not watching. So our place in the business community has many uses. It has not only the ability to produce revenues, income, to feed our family, to put a roof over our family, to enjoy life, and to share with others, to give our tithes and offerings to the ministry, whatever that may be. It may be your church, the storehouse. You know, the Bible says, you have robbed me. The question comes, where have I robbed you, God? God says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. And in many cases, that storehouse may be your church. You get fed there. It feeds other people, not only the word, but also helping the poor and the needy, the orphans and the widows. But there is a tremendous verse that follows where it's saying, bring the tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not be able to contain it. Wow, what a mother load. But verse 11 has even more power to it. Promise after promise after promise we will find in the Bible. And that promise in the following verse of Malachi 3 is in verse 11, where it is stated, if you do those things, God says, and I will rebuke the devourer. A gentleman once said, he is no fool who parts with that which he cannot keep, when he is sure to be recompensed with that which he cannot lose. And I mentioned that in bringing together again Malachi 3, where in verse 11 we're talking about God will rebuke the devourer. Because if we don't give to God, Satan is going to steal it from us. So we might complain because I don't make a lot of money, but friends that I have had, their material things were preserved. And I might say their needful material things, a home, its covering, its shelter, the appliances within, their transportation to get to work. They did not have a lot of financial problems because they had to repair something. The children were not sick. Constantly taking the children to the doctor, the emergency room, for whatever reason, because God protects his children when we walk in obedience to his word. So give it some thoughts. Are you being devoured by the evil one of your little finances that you might have? When, if you were able to keep those finances, you would be doing better because you gave God at least 10%, a tithe, the first tenth of your income. People argue about the tithe. Well, is it on the net or on the gross, or I can't afford to give? Well, you know, a friend of mine, a minister, a well-known minister internationally, was talking to a man about giving a tithe, and the man used to give a little bit of money to the church, but now he was very successful, and he was a multimillionaire. And he said, you know, Pastor, if I gave 10% of what I make each year, wow, that's a lot of money. In fact, confidentially, Pastor, I'd be given $100,000 a year. Wow, that's a lot of money. And the pastor just so kindly, lovingly, and sweetly said, well, you know, friend, I think what I will do is let's just pray that God will reduce your income so that what you are giving is 10%. You know, don't let Satan steal from you. Give to God. He only asks for 10%. And that is, number one, an obedience factor. Number two, it's an insurance and an assurance factor to preserve that money which you have so that you will not be spending it on things that are breaking down. You know, it never hurts to give 11%, a 12, 13, 15, because you cannot outgive God. You are walking in obedience, you're trusting him, and you are not relying on man. You're not relying on the political structure. You're not relying on anything other than the promises, 7,000 promises that are in the Word of God. Now you go and find them. Get rid of the devourer, the evil one in your life. So we have no need to expect our brother that is in business to give us free, give us discounts, or anything like that, because we are not supposed to rely on our brothers. Our faith and our reliance is upon God, his promises, his provision, because he will persevere with us. That's where our needs are filled. It is important that we follow God's principles in that which we do. Many people have that feeling that profit is a dirty word. But let me assure you, it is not. Depends on by what means you make your money. Did you steal it? Break into someone's home while they were gone? We've had that going on a lot in our world today. Or did you work honestly for it? You were employed. You might have made it through investments. Your profit came from someplace. Profit is not a dirty word. Profit is of God. Even Jesus asked, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Profit is a biblical principle. You can't do anything without a profit. prophet comes in many ways. The word is given out. The word of God will not return void to me. There's a prophet there. And that's P-R-O-F-I-T, incidentally. So let's profit ourselves in a way that we can glorify God. Let's use his money for his purpose and bless others. And I just enjoy really sharing with business people, with consumers, about being in business with God, about sharing the wealth that he provides. And wealth, just to go off on one little thought here, wealth doesn't mean you necessarily have a lot of money in the bank. You could have wealth because you've got good health, you're blessed with a family that loves one another, and each one of your family members belong to Jesus. What greater wealth could a man experience than have his family totally saved? Why must a company make a profit? Well, number one, they have expenses. They've got machines to buy. They got employees. They have different programs for their employees, depending on the ability and the generosity of the company and the workers that are blessing the business by them being honorable and working and helping the boss. By making profit, they've got a job that supports their family and helps them to acquire. And allowing the Christian businessman to stay in business and he being held accountable by God to direct his activities and to show the community in which he is involved who Christ is, not by necessarily shouting it, but by living it. And don't forget, I don't care how hard you work, I don't care how long you work, and I don't care how much you are paid. It is only God who gives man the ability to get wealth. If you're relying on yourself, you got a bad backer. If you're relying on the political system, if you're relying on friends because you've got contacts, no, it will not work. It's the power of God that gives us the ability to get wealth. You want a network? Network with God. Network in his word. Read it, study it. Joshua 1:8 says, "Let not the words of this chapter depart from thy lips, but meditate," marinate, if you will. Meditate in his word day and night, and then you will prosper, and then you will have great gain. God cooperates, and his law works. It works for the children of God, and God's promises will work for the non-believer. So, again, profit is needed to employ people, to do good things in the community, to do good things in the church, to do God things. It's not money that is evil. The Bible says it's the love of money, being obsessed with money. The love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So there is nothing wrong with profit. There's nothing wrong with having excess after you've paid your bills to have some over on the side, because that is God allowing us to have a little bit to help our neighbor. Money is to be used for the building of the kingdom and not to laud ourselves with all the material wealth that we can spend. Because, believe it or not, and I haven't experienced this myself, I'm just speaking on faith and knowledge of what wiser men have told me. You cannot take it with you. And you'd be surprised. If some thought they could and they sent it ahead, they might have sent it to the wrong place. So invest your profits in the work of the kingdom and have a better life. You know, friends, we are living in a time, and we're probably way past the time, that we need to be thinking of the kingdom economy. What is the kingdom? A kingdom has a king, and our king is God the Father. And a king needs a kingdom with citizens. and that's his children. He is looking for children not to sit on the ground against the wall, but he wants his children to be involved in building the economy of the kingdom, producing, productive. And I would encourage each and every one to understand how different elements of the kingdom economy can work. Giving. You know, the more you give, the more you have. God will not be outgiven. He knows your heart, and he will give accordingly to your heart and reason for giving. This relates to our actions as owners of business, as employees, whereby an employee does not feel that his Christian boss or the owner, whether he's the owner or he works for the owner, but he's the boss and he's a Christian, we don't feel like we're getting paid what we're worth. Well, a lot of people feel that way, I know. But, you know, here is something. You can give 115% without grumbling, mumbling, and excitedly to build that business for that boss and for your employer. As you give, at some point, God will move on them to reward you for that. But you know, man is man, sinners are sinners. And if you feel neglected and rejected, you resist it. And you think, well, they're not paying me what I'm worth. I'm going to work less. I'm not going to be dedicated to this. You are doing God a disfavor. You're doing yourself a disfavor. You're lacking in a testimony to those that work around you, and they perceive, or you've shared with them, I'm a Christian. But yet, look how you treat your employer, and you should be thankful to him for the job, and you should perform because you're not working for him. Come on. Come on. Who are you working for? You're working for yourself? No, no, no. You are working for God, and God will not let you go unrewarded. You are the ambassador of the kingdom for the King, Jesus, the Father, Creator, God. So it comes back again, employee or employer, give. Don't try to see how cheap you can be. Don't see how much you can keep. Don't hoard it. Plant it. You know what happens when you plant a seed? Look at the farmer. The farmer doesn't plant one seed, a tomato seed, let's say. He doesn't plant that one seed and he jumps up and down when the plant grows, it's green and it's got one tomato on it. No. Synergism is God's law, where one becomes multiple. You plant one to get a dozen, two dozen, whatever that plant will produce. God's law of synergism works in the marketplace. It works on the farm. It works in God's blessings to his children. So don't ever let your employer down, and employers, don't let your employees down. Let them see Christ in you. Pray with them. Pray for them. Minister to them. We need to minister to one another. And now, friends, about dealing with the business community within your church. Don't go to them with eyes of, I'm going to get a big discount. I'm going to talk them into giving it to me free. But expect to pay them. Expect to pay them whatever they ask. Now, I would not be against Christians getting general quotes on a job to see that things are within the ballpark. But let's say you got three quotes and the Christian is 10% higher. I would much rather pay that Christian 10% more because I'm blessing one of God's children. I am sharing favor and showing favor to my brother, to one of God's children, because I know he is going to be tithing on it. I know he is going to be doing good. Yes, and it allows him to do a little bit more for the community so that his witness shines high. So don't nickel and dime our believers that are providers. Don't nickel and dime them. Look to pay them and look to God for your resource and sources of being able to do it. Be a good steward. Be that good steward that God calls upon us to be. Don't try to chisel them down because I'm a steward of God's money and he doesn't want me to spend this much. Well, maybe he doesn't want you to buy what you're trying to buy. Maybe you don't need that brand new car. Maybe you don't need a swimming pool in the backyard. Maybe you don't need that 52-inch television to be stuck on the wall. Maybe you don't need all these gadgets, okay? Well, be cautious. Consider God when you buy them. But be able to buy what you need and be able to pay your Christian brother what he asks. And maybe when you pay him, surprising, pay him a little bit more. God will bless you for it if you keep your eyes on God and not on the circumstances. The kingdom economy works by giving. It's contrary to the other philosophy of building your kingdom by taking, by robbing, by non-performance, by dishonesty. God's principles work. So kingdom economy, give and it shall be given. Shaken down, pressed together with the measure that you measure out, God will meet back to you. Bless others that you may be blessed. Bless others that God will be blessed with your actions. And truly, don't be a wallflower. Be a kingdom builder and live in a kingdom economy. Okay? I want to just share with you this factor as well. I want you to be a search committee of one. I want you to encourage others to become a search committee of one within your church and look for men and women that are in business providing goods and services that you or your fellow church friends might need to employ at some time. I estimate that the average church is foregoing a little under $100,000 a year and possibly a greater amount because Christians are not doing it. They are not being encouraged by the pastors. And pastors, I love you. I pray for you, pastors. God bless you. But I want to encourage you to start encouraging your congregation to let the business community know what they do and that they're going to be held accountable that they do it honorably before the Lord and that we, the Christian community within your church, use your members that are in business to provide the service that is needed. So I want to encourage each church member and you pastors, you associate pastors, to get a roster going so that your members and you, the church, purchase from Christian businessmen and women and providers of those services. So let's become true kingdom builders and take care of the consumers, the businessmen within our church community, and watch the kingdom grow when the world is struggling. Three cords tied together are unlikely broken. Praise God for that. Okay, now, friends and my loved ones, and I hope we're closer friends now towards the end of the program than we were in the beginning. I hope that God has moved on your heart in some way and direction. And let us know if we have, and let us know how we can help you. But I promised you something. I said I would tell you what the acronym USA, you have had time maybe to think about it. And what you might think. But I'd like to let you know what the acronym is. It's Christian Business Directory, USA, under scriptural authority. I know many of you were thinking United States of America. No, I serve a greater kingdom than the USA. I serve God's kingdom, and I want the business to be run under scriptural authority. So I thank God that he has directed me in that path, and that is the true meaning spoken out of USA. Don't forget it, under scriptural authority. Thank you so much for allowing me to come into your head, your heart, and your home. And let me leave you with this thought. God in His Bible and His Word says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you and to bring you to a good end. He has that for all of His children, and we are invited to accept His provisions. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for allowing me to share. And I do hope that it has blessed the hearts of those who have heard. God bless you. Until next time.